Hey Siri, give me H-Town Soccer.
Talking all things Houston Dynamo FC. This is the official Dynamo Theory Podcast. We are Forever Orange. What up, Houston? Yes, you heard it right. This is the original and the only Dynamo Theory Podcast, and we're super excited to get kicked off, this new era. And you may recognize the voices just because we're kind of been doing back and forward stuff. But my name is Rudy Segura, and next to me or hosting this with me is Christian. How you doing, man?
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me again. You thought you lost me, but I'm back. But yeah, like Rudy said, man, we're excited. We'll be hosting this new show, Dynamo Theory Podcast. So hopefully you guys can come on the ride with us.
Yeah, no, and we're super, super excited. I mean, I think it was something we talked about a year ago, and it just made sense now that, you know, obviously Pat Onset coming in and Ted Siegel, everything kind of new kind of coming around. We were kind of already... We're thinking of doing this show today, and it would turned out to be a perfect day, right? Because we got all the Houston Dynamo FC contract options, and what else but to talk about that. So again, we're super excited. I hope that you guys can follow along. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at Dynamo Theory and our new Instagram. So if you see it and you think it's spam, it's definitely not spam. Make sure to follow us. Me and Christian are the ones kind of running that one. So we're trying to build it from scratch. And so, you know, try to keep everybody updated. Our main goal is definitely to have as many followers, right, in the sense of Houston Dynamo fans, to see them at the stadium. But yeah, Christian, anything else you want to add before we go in into the contract options, man?
Yes. Just one last thing. If you want to get at us, if you have any questions, or if you want to, like, you know, post a picture, if you want to tag us, or, you know, whatever it may be, we do have a hashtag. It's going to be hashtag Houston DT for Dynamo Theory. So, you know, whenever you guys want to post pictures, or I don't know, if we take a picture together at the stadium or whatever, I mean, I don't know if you would like a picture of me or Rudy, but, you know, why not? You can always tag us, or like I said, if you have a question or something like that, you can finish off the question with hashtag Houston DT, and that's how we'll be able to find, you know, all the stuff that comes our way and stuff like that.
Yeah, and we plan to inform you as much as we can. We're definitely not insiders by any means, but we are a part of the Dynamo Theory community, so we write articles for them and try to keep you guys updated. Of course, it's a little bit of off season, even though there's things going on. There's not as much things going on right now. But our plan is simple. Follow us, get our insight and opinions, as well as incoming interviews with players as we break down the games as they come along, of course. And right now is the off season, so we have plenty of talk about as we see this new era happen and the roster building begins.
Yes, sir. So without further ado, I guess, you know, we can get into this famous email that we all have been waiting for. This beautiful list of names to some, and then maybe a couple names here or there that maybe you either didn't want, you know, for them to go, or, you know, maybe you wanted some people to go. So, you know, let's just go ahead and jump in into this list.
Yes, of course. We got the famous list. Obviously, yesterday we were teased a bit by the tweet by the Houston Dynamo showing a little hand signature. So, you know, they're ready to let know some of the people that were going to be either getting a contract or not getting a contract. Of course, first one we heard was Matias Vera getting a 2-year extension, basically, with an option to a third. To me, that's great news. You know, the guy is a very solid player. He's definitely who won the captain armband in the past seasons that he enjoyed. Obviously, you know, with a new coach being Tab Ramos, he decided to give that armband to someone else. But yeah, what are your thoughts on him?
I mean, I love the guy. He's one of my favorite players. Vera, basically, I mean, since the beginning, I think, well, you know, like 2 years in a row, he was like, you know, player of the year, or, you know, like, what's it called? Like, you know, people's players, MVP, like club MVP and stuff like that. So he's been very, very like solid, you know, in the midfield. I mean, you know, he had some bad games here and there. But I think, you know, overall, if you look at his overall game, if you look at his overall style of play, just consistency, I think he's one of the most consistent players that we have. So it kind of made no sense for to bring him back, honestly, like a couple more years. I thought personally that maybe he might be, you know, not let go, but picked up by another team, or maybe, you know, I don't know if he had any offers or anything like that, but, you know, I wouldn't put it past, you know, the fact that he had other orders or other, I'm over here twitching already.
Other offers. I got you,
other
man.
Other offers. You know what I mean?
Here, let me step
I'm
in
real quick. I'm the same guy, by the way.
Hey, that same here. Whenever it comes to Matias Vera, I think it's very exciting to have him back. I think the question with him is he a six? Is he an eight? You know, we've seen a little bit of everything for him. So hopefully this offseason with, you know, obviously the space that is being made, you know, there's players that come in and are more complementary to his game, because he by himself is not going to be midfield to destroy. But with that, we'll continue on to, you know, who are the options that the Dynamo picked up. I'll go through the list real quick and we can break down if, you know, some kind of pop out more. But we got Darwin Seren being picked up. Yeah. And we'll come back to that one. I think that's the one that kind of definitely was between him and another one. But do you have a forward? Well, it's a forward, but he played defense pretty much all game. Griffin Dorsey, you have Sam Jankua, you have Nico Lemoine, you have Tyler Pascher, Marcelo Palomino, and Fafa Pico. Fafa Pico, no brainer, right? He was your best player, your MVP, scored many goals. He definitely showed and represented Houston well. So, you know, we don't even have to talk about that one. Tyler Pascher, same thing. You know, obviously injuries kind of hurt him, but he was definitely the most explosive player apart from Fafa. Again, checked in. Marcelo Palomino, out on loan, playing for Charlotte and the USL. Obviously, we all want to see him. Of course, great to have him. Then you get a little murky, right? You have Nico Lemoine, who hasn't played much. Winger, young guy. You're not paying him much. So it makes sense to have him for dead purposes. And this three are maybe a little bit more questionable. Of course, we know Griffin Dorsey, man, poor guy, definitely showed a great game, you know, this season. And Todd Ramos did that. So, you know, obviously Todd Ramos not being there, we think or we hope that he still continues to, you know, keep improving. But going back to Darwin Seren, what's your opinion on him, man?
Darwin Seren, honestly, he's like, you know, like those cats have seven lives, you know, like they die and they keep coming back. It's like, when is this guy, like, how many mistakes does this guy have to do? Not even only for his club, but for country. It's like, this dude has been messing up. A couple of Salvadorians, you know, I saw on the feed on Twitter, you know, when the news broke out, basically, they were like, wait, Seren? Like, are we talking about the same Darwin? Like, you know, because the other Darwin didn't get picked up. So people were like confused. Maybe they got confused with last names or, you know, Seren. I think in the beginning, you know, when he came into the club, he was probably like a really, you know, a good name to have, you know, just because of his work ethic. But I think, you know, as the years have gone by, he kind of, you know, went downhill a little bit. You know, people see him as a super sub, you know, of some sorts. But also, like, you know, he's a super sub that comes from the bench with a yellow card attached to his name. So it's like, you know, it's one of those things that you're like, should we keep him? Should we not? I don't know. What do you think about him?
Yeah, so my opinion, I'm kind of with you in that sense. I think he's better as a sub and not even as like a coming in sub. More of like a sub when there's an injury, right? Like when you lose a guy or if you need to give somebody a rest. I think he's a good enough international representative, the you know, playing competitively, so he brings a lot of that experience to the game. But then you have the Darwin Seren that comes in, you know, playing in Austin and gets a red card out of nowhere. So It's hard to say, but I think it's a good choice just because you probably are not paying him premium money. So, you know, if going back to something I mentioned before we started recording, if Pat Onsett does his homework correctly, then we should not see Darwin sit and start, right? So, again, it'd be more of like he can be on the rotation aspect or a sub every now and then, but more of an emergency. And I think he's a perfect professional because if you remember when he didn't play, like in 2017 and 2018, when he came in and like was, you know, made that position his own. But we know that he's not a continuous starter. And then on the other hand, jumping to Sam Junkwa, is another guy that a lot of people are kind of up and down on him. I personally think he is good because he's versatile and he's cheap. And we've seen that he can play on the left back. I mean, he did thrown Adam for a bit, which I think it actually helped. You know, it was that competition brought Adam back and he played even better after that. But you can always play this kid too as a center back if needed. So, you know, in case like Hadavi goes down, you know, you don't want to put him in there, of course, like as the first option, but it's there if you need him. You want to add anything on Sam?
I mean, Sam, I think he has earned a spot. You know, I think in the beginning, most of us kind of saw, you know, the Sam that would give you a goal, you know, a pass, you know, for you to score. But then also in the same and the very next play, he would like mess up and, you know, have the other team score on you. But I think as the games went by and I think he got more experience, he got more comfortable, I think he was able to find himself. And maybe I think he played, even though he might be capable of playing different positions, I think we should keep him like to focus on one. Because I think when you move the player too much, you kind of throw him off of, you know, it's just, because there's so many like, you know, little things that we don't really think about. Like, for example, like if you're a center back, you know, you're not going to have the same como projection, you know, projection in Spanish, you know, to go to attack. If you're playing like strictly in a line of five in the back, you know, and he's going to be playing out wide, you know, he's going to go and you know, he's going to come back. If you're playing a back four and he's going to be on the left, it's the same thing, but you know, it's more of a back and forth than a back five, because you know that you have three guys kind of covering your back in a way. So I think it all comes down to who we're going to have as a coach. I think the manager position is going to dictate a lot of these players, like Seren, like Junkwa, and maybe other names that are kind of like up in the air. But I think once we get a manager and we get like a style of play, I think we'll be able to not make a decision for him, but I think it would clear a lot of these, you know, things that are floating around, like what is he going to do? What is he going to play? Is he going to play? Is he going to be in the bench? Or, you know, and I think it's just, we just have to wait for this manager to come in and tell us something.
Yeah. And of course, I mean, right now, Pat Onsett is doing, you know, picking the best of what he has, right? He's trying to make it picking the best that he, or the ones that he thinks are good pieces for either that, not necessarily starting, but, you know, giving something at least to start off. And that leaves up with, you know, the contract that were declined. The options that were declined was defender Jose Vizama, which we already knew was going to come just because he was very unlucky with injuries. He was loaned out, didn't really play much.
Sad story.
Yeah, very sad, because I think he was definitely going to be the right back for a while for the team. We have Minor Figueroa, which no surprise there either. The guy is 30 years old, kind of declining in his career. I mean, the guy's been an Ironman for a long time, but I think it's time, you know, that we move away from him. Eric McHugh, I think he was a little surprising to an extent, but he wasn't getting even playing time with Charlotte, or was it Charleston that he was playing with? So to an extent, you know, I think it was coming. I think the one a little surprising was Marco Matic, just because he had only been here a year. But, you know, I think overall he made a lot of mistakes that, you know, other goalies didn't do. So why not, you know, get rid of that international spot that he was taking? Another was goalkeeper Kyle Morton. forward, Dawin Quintero, who was a little surprising, and Maxi Arruti, which I, you know, I think he was too expensive for, you know, what he was providing. But before we keep going with those, I guess add to Darwin Quintero, Darwin Quintero, I really do think that they're going to try to negotiate some kind of TAM contract and try to keep him. It seems like he's excited to kind of be a part of the team still. So it'd be great to have him and still have like three DP spots to fill. But anything you want to add on any of those guys?
Well, on McHugh, also same thing. I was surprised because I was like, I think he's young enough to play in this U23 tournament that they're having, right? The MLS Next. I'm not 100% sure how old he is, but I think he was old. I mean, young enough to play in that tournament or whatever. And I think, you know, that should be a very important, vital, like, you know, U23 team where you're going to have to be able to pick out players, you know, out of there. Like, I was watching all these playoffs going on in the MLS, and he had like 18-year-old kids, you know, taking penalties. And we are here, you know, like one of, like you mentioned, you know, like this guy.
Figueroa?
No, the GM.
Oh, Pat Onstad.
Yeah, Pat, there you go. Pat, you said Pat, you know, he basically picked like the best ones that we had. And when you look at the list and you're like, well, some Junqua, Seren, you're like, is that the best that we have? You know, nothing against those guys, but, you know, I'm not saying like they're good players, but, you know, is it, you know, is that the best we have? You know, it's just kind of sad in a way.
No, it is sad, but I mean, we are the last team on the conference. So,
yeah,
you know, at the end of the day, it would be easy to like hit, you know, all, what is it, control, all, delete. Yeah. But that's impossible, you know, with the regulations that are in place. So you have to kind of pick the best of what you have. And I think the ones that were dropped, I think those were definitely the ones that need to be dropped. And again, there, it doesn't mean that they're completely gone. I'm sure they're going to negotiate with a few of them, trying to get them to bring down their salaries and why not. And of course, jumping to the ones that are definitely out of contract are Alejandro Fonmayor and Bonia Garcia, which obviously we knew Boni was leaving. He gave his sad goodbyes. Alejandro, that one kind of hurts a bit because he came out, you know, at full cylinders and then he slowly disappeared. But I feel like he was just not given the opportunity and, you know, it's okay. It's time to move on. It's fine. Let's keep going. And lastly, it looked like Michael Nelson, he reached an agreement for a new contract. So he got another 2-year extension, basically, with an option for the 2024 season.
That was interesting too.
Yeah, that one's interesting because I feel like, obviously, I think Pat Onsen's going to want to tie in, you know, the community. So Michael Nelson, you can use him and Memo Rodriguez as, you know, like Houstonians. And then Seren, I mean, there is a big, you know, Salvadoran population that does love him. Like when you go to the game, you know, he's one of the ones that people are asking for his autograph all the time. Whether he is good or bad, doesn't matter. You know, he's one of those guys that people still kind of look forward to seeing.
He's a people guy.
Exactly. So, you know, a big community there. So it doesn't hurt to have him, you know, again, as a filler, right? As a roster filler. But with that, so far, what we have right now, we have only one goalkeeper being Michael Nelson on their contract. And on our roster, defenders, we have 7. We have Ethan Barlow, Teenage Adavi, Ian Hoffman, Sam Jonquil, Adam Lundqvist, Tim Parker, and Sadiq Ballantyne. Midfielders, we have Coco Carrasquilla, Juan Castilla, Darwin Seren, Joe Corona, Derek Jones, Marcelo Palomino, Memo Rodriguez, Matias Vera. Forwards, we have plenty of them, with an 8th of them, Corey Bird, Mateo Bajamich.
Oh.
Yeah, exactly. Griffin Dorsey, Ari Lasseter, another one. Nico Lemoine, yeah. Tyler Pascher, Fafa Pico, Danny Rios. I think the only good thing, you know, obviously having some names that we are like, why are they still there? You still have to remember there's an expansion draft coming. So I'm sure a few of these guys are definitely not going to be protected just to see if, you know, they get picked up. And you never know. There's still time for them to maybe get dropped if, you know, if something happens otherwise. But man, your thoughts so far on what the roster looks like?
I mean, I think we have a it's pretty solid, honestly. It looks pretty solid, honestly. Last year, even though we were last place, you know, in the West, I think we had a pretty solid team. We just had a really, 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 really rough patch. But I think we had a decent team enough to not be last, you know. I think we had a better team than Austin, personally. I mean, the results obviously weren't there, but and maybe a better team than Dallas, but, you know, I don't know. But, I mean, I see some names that I don't even know why. Like, for example, midfielders, that list is very, very tricky for me because I would probably keep two to three guys in that list, and that's it. And there's, like, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 names, and I'll probably keep half of those. You know, I would keep Matias Vera is already signed. I would probably keep Marcelo Palomino just to see what he can bring in. Coco Carrasquilla, of course, and then Juan Castilla, but, you know, he would probably end up playing in the U23. The other guys, you know, Darwin Seren, Joe Corona, Derek Jones, even Memo, like, I'm still kind of iffy about them. You know, they really haven't showed anything of – there was a word that I was going to say that I forgot.
Value.
Yeah, value. Yeah. So it was a word – of something about value, but they haven't really showed anything to be like, this guy, I want this guy back in my team, I want this guy to be fighting in the midfield. You know, Derek Jones just kind of disappeared. I don't know if it was injury, I don't know if he just kind of like fell off the list, and I was kind of excited to see Derek Jones. You know, in the beginning he looked pretty good, his size, you know, the way that he was able to move his body around, and you're like, you know, he's promising, he could be a really good midfielder, like defensive midfielder with Matias Vera, and then have somebody in front of him to kind of, you know, be the more creative one, you know, Coco maybe. But then he just kind of fell off. Joe Corona, he just kind of like, you know, maybe his better days are behind him. I mean, I don't know. And then, you know, we already talked about Darwin Seren. And Memo, you know, he's one of the big question marks in this team because, you know, last year he was a ghost. You know, and we don't know. It could have been the coach. It could have been, you know, the way that he played. You know, in one of the last press conferences, he basically said and kind of threw the coach under the bus in a way and basically said, you know, he played me all the time. I didn't play much. And the times that I played, I didn't play in a position that I was comfortable in. So, you know, but, you know, I did it for the team type thing. So it's like, you know, do we really want something like that? Do we really want a guy that, you know, wants to be very specific? I don't know. And then because you see Sam Junqua, he just kind of played everywhere. And he didn't say anything. He fought for a place. He took a guy's place. You know, that guy had to come back and get his place. But it wasn't that once Lundy came in and, you know, took back his job, you know, Sam was just out and about. No, he kept fighting and he, like, tried other positions. And he made himself useful for the team. Where Memo basically kind of said, I mean, I don't know, but, you know, I'm just implying here. But Memo just said, you know, I'm a center, whatever. I play as a 10. I don't know how to play as an 8. Or, you know, he knows, but, you know, it's just thoughts, I guess.
Yeah, so doing a little recap, just a short little recap. The Dynamo FC exercise contracts for 7 players. And they will enter the MLS offseason with 24 players, which is more than what I would like to have. I would like more room for improvement. But if anything makes you want, you know, feel better, I guess, there's 3 DP spots that are open and a few international roster spots. So, you know, if Ted Siegel says he's going to put some money, even like, you know, if it's $3 million per player, this is the time. You're right, man. Yeah. So, you know, that gives you, you know, you don't need a ton of players in the MLS. We've noticed that, you know, you can get it. I mean, this is a little far-fetched, but you can get yourself like a Zlatan, you know, somebody big. One player can do a lot, right? So imagine getting 3 guys. They're not even, you know, yeah.
Let's do this. Let's do our first kind of segment for the people. A question of the week. Would you rather have 3 DPs, like, you know, 2-3 million average, or would you rather have 1 10 million DP and then 2 below average DPs or whatever?
Yeah, make sure to You know, I put a post, obviously, and you can comment on it and make sure you all use the hashtag HoustonDT. That's how we'll keep up with a lot of the things that you guys have questions, concerns, comments. You know, use that for sure. But no, I mean, it's exciting times for sure to have, you know, the offseason kind of begin, even though the MLS Cup hasn't even been played so far. But it's, you know, as soon as a season ends for a team, basically the new one begins. So to me, you know, there's a lot of things that are happening for sure. And the biggest question mark that we're going to continue to have is who's going to be our coach, right? I think by the onset, it's definitely someone that's going to take like careful consideration of who he picks as our new head coach. But he doesn't have a ton of time. That's why he's doing his best to kind of keep appropriate players that he believes, you know, can do good stuff for the guy to come. I know that you had a few names that you, you know, had heard in the rumor mill going for the coaching position. But yeah, what are those names, man?
I mean, honestly, there's not, I don't know many names, but I know one name that I would like to have and one name that I would not like to have. One of the names that I would not like to have is Lucho González. Like, we already have too many ex FC Dallas.
Well, especially- I'm going to definitely like kind of alleviate you from that pain of like maybe having Lucci, but it seems like he's actually going to go and be assistant to Greg Berhalter, which is good. Good news. I agree. You know, definitely I don't want to be the, you know, it did hurt my feelings a little bit when we got a few, you know, Fafa, even though he's amazing, but you know, players from former FC Dallas kind of hurts a little. And so even a coach would be even worse because that hasn't ever happened. So let's move away from that boat for sure.
And the one that I think maybe has a good possibility, just because of the ties that he has with the city of Houston in like a, well, kind of not an, it's a direct way, but not very direct, I guess. I don't know. It's kind of weird because he's not from Houston or anything, but he has a club here in Houston. I think they play in the UPSL. Or something like that, and one of the lower leagues, semi-professional teams, and is Matias Almeida. You know, the Almeida, he has the Matias Almeida FC, the academy here. And I remember him back in the days when, you know, he used to be a player and I hated him. And I still kind of do a little bit, you know, just because he is from the other side of the river type thing. Ah, there you go. I said it.
Literally,
literally the other side of the river. But what I always loved about him,
Wait. Let me clarify that. The other side of the river, he's talking about River Plate. Homeboy's a Boca fan, so, you know, don't want to insult anybody across the river.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. If you're from across the river, no insult to you. But if you are from across the river, all the insult to you. But one of the things that made me respect him was one time a Boca River played, and then he got a red card, and then he had to be escorted out by police. And then, like, he was leaving the field and in front of La Doce, like, the you know, the supporters, he was, like, kissing his badge and stuff like that, which, to me, I was like, that takes a lot of, you know, a lot of guts to do that in front of those people. And then I respect his coaching style, even though that maybe I don't know how I feel about his, like, one-on-one, like, style, whatever it's called, man marking. I don't know how that would work. And I don't know if I'm very fond of it. I saw a couple of games last year. I haven't seen many games of his this year, but I didn't know how I feel about it. But I like his passion. He's very passionate. And I think a passionate coach with passionate players in a passionate city, I think we can make it happen. So,
yeah. And we'll leave it at that for now. This is our first episode kicking off the Dynamo Theory podcast, the official Dynamo Theory podcast. So again, you know, we're hoping next week maybe we have a coach by then. If not, I'm sure there'll be something to talk about. Some people may be getting signed, you know, as they work to get some contracts done. But very exciting stuff. Again, make sure to check out dynamotheory.com for articles. The guys Derek and Dustin do a great job of keeping everybody informed. Again, same thing. follow us on Instagram and on Twitter. Twitter, you know, they're always on it. They're blowing it up. Instagram's brand new. So, you know, give us a like, give us a follow. We'll keep you guys posted with all the Dynamo news as they come. And, you know, till next time, I don't have like a ending quote, man. I don't know if you have anything in mind you want to say. No, but man.
You know, we're doing it for Houston. So, you know, let's just keep it, you know, for the city.
Yeah. And again, I do want to thank, though, El Batallón for letting us borrow some of their music that will be a part of this podcast, which is great. So I guess till next time.
Jesus. Later, guys.